Hey, everybody. This episode is brought to you by my friends at ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Secure your device, anonymize your online activity, protect your action online. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Help our show out by also helping yourself protect yourself. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. This will be a two-part series. The first of which is my conversation with James Lindsay at the Student Action Summit. The second will be behind the scenes. And James Lindsay is the foremost expert on critical race theory and wokeism. And I think you're really going to enjoy it. If you want to support our program, go to charliekirk.com/support. If you want to get involved with Turning Point USA, go to tpusa.com, where we play offense with a sense of urgency to win the American culture war. And if you want to support our program, again, it's charliekirk.com/support. Buckle up, everybody. Part one, Dr. James Lindsay. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
You may have heard that I'm recently married. Every married man knows that while it's the greatest gift, it's also a big change. I'm joyfully adjusting all the habits I formed as a single man, all the way down to my sleep schedule. One part of this married man's routine will remain exactly the same. Want to guess what it is? Every night before going to bed, I'd still take two capsules of Magnesium Breakthrough by Bioptimizers. Don't get me wrong, I'm not taking any old generic synthetic magnesium pills. I only take Magnesium Breakthrough. Why? Well, simply put, there are seven unique forms of magnesium. By leveraging all seven forms in each capsule, I'm able to experience magnesium's deep, restorative sleep benefits. If you're having trouble falling asleep or staying asleep, try magnesium in your nightly regimen and be amazed at how much healthier your sleep patterns become. For an exclusive offer to the Charlie Kirk Show listeners, go to magbreakthrough.com/Kirk. Then use promo code KIRK10 during checkout to save 10%. Or Google Magnesium Breakthrough and Bioptimizers should be your first result. Don't forget KIRK10 to save on your order. Great to see all of you. I have been so excited for this conversation. With someone who's become a friend over the last year, it's really interesting when tyrannical circumstances start to spread in your country. You start to find friends that you otherwise wouldn't really have got the opportunity to know. Dr. James Lindsay has his doctorate in mathematics, which is not easy. He was just explaining to me his doctoral thesis. I don't even understand the category of the thesis, let alone actually what was said. But Dr. James Lindsay and I connected last year around this idea of critical race theory. And Dr. Lindsay has the best book on critical race theory in the entire country. I talk about it all the time. It is called Cynical Theories. It's phenomenal. And Dr. Lindsay has become the go-to source on this idea of critical race theory. How many of you have equity, critical race theory, racial education in your schools, that white privilege, you know, all these sorts of things? This conversation is really going to be focused on what we can do about it and where it comes from. James, welcome.
Thanks, Charlie.
You bet. So tell us, what is, let's just start at the top. Is critical race theory indeed racist?
Yes. It's racist in every possible direction, every possible direction. It obviously bases itself off of a scapegoating of whiteness, which it identifies explicitly in its own words. They say that with whites, that being and doing are not separated. So being white is doing whiteness, and therefore, because you get white privilege, which you can't renounce. So it holds up whiteness as a scapegoat and is therefore racist against whites. However, it also says that this is the state of affairs in a society that's intrinsically white supremacist, so it upholds white supremacy. Therefore, it positions people of other races, especially black people, as inferior and as, you know, incapable of engaging with things like individualism and meritocracy. In fact, it says that whites fooled other races who apparently are easy to trick into accepting things like, you know, a diminished or oppressed status in society. So it's racist against every race you can possibly imagine. But don't worry. Real racism hasn't been tried yet.
Is that what the,
that's what this is.
That's what, yeah. And so
it's only the good parts of racism, apparently.
Yeah. So basically the people in charge, the wokesters, they're trying to say that we're so anti-racist that now we're going to be racist.
Well, yeah. So they have to strategically be racist because they believe that, and this is really a strange belief, that you have to actually think of critical race theory kind of like a religious belief about how society is organized. You always hear, right? Nobody can even define critical race theory. Wrong. We can. And critical race theory is the belief that society is organized by racism. That's it. That's it. And so because of that, they think that racism is the ordinary state of affairs. That's their words in society. And so the only way to fight back against that is to be racist in the opposite direction, in all directions at the same time. This is why you have Ibram Kendi writing that the only remedy to racist discrimination is anti-racist discrimination. The only remedy to past discrimination is present discrimination, and the only remedy to present discrimination is future discrimination. That's page 19 of How to Be an Anti-Racist.
Which is in our boardrooms. It's even in our weapon manufacturing companies.
Jack Dorsey gave him $10 million because of that.
$10 million from Twitter.
$10 million from Twitter.
To teach people to be currently discriminatory.
Intentionally and future discriminatory. And as a matter of fact, since this is, you know, obviously an American situation, we have to understand that what Kendi's goal is to actually establish a department of anti-racism that is superior to all three branches of our government and has the final say on everything. That sounds pretty scary. And he wants that backed by constitutional amendment. So that's also pretty scary. So just to make another link for you that we should just go there, where what you had with Marxism was the idea that a dictatorship of the proletariat would arise and usher us through a socialist period to communism. With critical race theory, we're going to have a dictatorship of the anti-racists that's superior to the entire federal government of the United States. There will be no divided powers, no freedom. A dictatorship of the anti-racists that will usher us through a period where we can reimagine race and racism and power and have equity, which is just a new word for race communism.
And so that's a good way to put it. If we don't get this race issue correct, everybody, the country is done. We are the least racist country ever to exist in the history of the world. And we have to be proud to say that. And I'm going to reemphasize this. This is a strategy and a tactic to obliterate our way of life, to care about how people look, not how they act. Now, James, I'm going to tell you something that I struggle with when I debate with some of these apparatchiks, which is, since their argument and their belief is that everything can be blamed on racism, how do you actually convince them otherwise? Because it goes back to them even saying that your argument is racism as itself. It's as if everything then comes back to that, right? So for example, they will say that unequal distributions are thanks to racism. They will say that speech is thanks to racism. There's a lot of very, let's say, factual ways to walk people through this. But if their opening argument is that it's in the sky, it's in the air, it's in the food that we eat, it's part of who we are, then how do you actually turn and persuade somebody to think otherwise?
I don't think you do if they start from that presupposition. That's presuppositional apologetics, for those of you who are familiar with religious stuff. They have taken up the idea that racism is the ordinary state of affairs in society, even to the point where arguments themselves are racism. Changing their mind is racism.
Exactly right.
So if somebody's adopted that position, what argument could you give somebody to believe otherwise? They're just going to interpret it as racism every time. So I don't think you can change those people's minds. So what you actually have to do is you have to speak past those people. And I don't mean if it's your friend one-on-one or whatever. You try to talk to him. You try to ask him questions. You try to unsettle that belief. I was on a podcast one time with a woman who was quite woke, and she and I had this conversation. She's a young black woman. And in the middle of the conversation, I just said, according to critical race theory, racism exists in every interaction. Where was the racism in our interaction? Was I racist to you? And she couldn't find it. And she said that's absurd. So that upset her ability to continue believing that. What you actually have to do is you have to say, you know, I don't accept that presupposition. I don't believe that assumption. I don't believe this manipulation. I think we do have common ground, and I think we can talk about things. And that's what we really have to start doing, is start to appeal. We have common ground. We're both people. We're both people. And we used to say, you know, people, we all bleed red or whatever. Back in the civil rights movement in Memphis in 1968, they carried signs that said, I am a man. They didn't say I'm a black man. They didn't say I'm a white man. They didn't say I'm a Korean man. They said, I am a man, meaning that they're all the same. So I believe we have common ground. Well, so why don't we ditch that and try to start talking?
There's no doubt in my mind that Americans' trust in the media is at an all-time low. I mean, when you turn on so-called respected news channels, all you get is propaganda, shameless virtue signaling, and blatant disregard for the truth. It's an insult to the intelligence of the American people, which is why my good friends at The Daily Wire, great people, are providing an alternative. From The Daily Wire newsroom comes Morning Wire, a morning news podcast that gives you the facts you need to know first. Brought to you by The Daily Wire editor-in-chief John Bickley and co-host Georgia Howe, Morning Wire will wake you up with the latest developments in politics, sports, culture, and education, all with a heavy emphasis on the truth. Episodes drop every weekday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. So go subscribe now to hear the trailer. It's super important because it's challenging the New York Times daily. This is rooted in truth. And if you like what you hear, leave a 5-star review if you want to help The Daily Wire provide a source Americans can wake up and trust. Each episode will be short with only enough room to fit the facts, so you can be sure your breakfast isn't going to be served with a side of someone else's agenda. Seriously, go subscribe to The Daily Wire, Morning Wire. It's called The Morning Wire. Go subscribe right now.
So I guess the challenge, though, is that every single person in this room believes in this idea of elevating character and things you can change over the things you cannot change. But then, James, why is it that the people with all the money, the resources, the power, and the institutions are so quickly embracing this horrendous idea, one that is by definition insidious, that it's parasitic in nature? Why are the people that are trusted with basically governing our society, not just in politics, but in the corporate world, why are they so recklessly irresponsible with this?
Well, you just said, right? Why are all the people with money and power and all the resources, why are they trying to get more of them by dividing everybody and keeping anybody else from being able to speak up? If you guys can't unify, if we can't unify, and I know unity is one of those words that they made poisonous, if we can't unify across our differences, you have some differences, who cares? If we can't unify, we can't win. They don't want you to unify. They want you to look at each other and say, well, it's weird if I'm friends with somebody of a different race. We have to interrogate our racial differences. It's weird to have a friendship across a sexual difference. It's weird to have a relationship across any difference. It's weird to have a relationship across a religious difference. It's weird. It's weird. It's uncomfortable. You should be focusing on why you're different rather than why you're the same. If we can't unify, they're going to beat us. And that, why? Because it's a divide and conquer strategy, and it works. And the people with power and all the money and all the things realize that this is a tool that they can use to divide us and to continue to collect more money, resources, and power to themselves and take us toward totalitarianism.
And do you really believe it's that sinister, James? Because, I mean, of course I do. But, you know, some people would call you a liberal. You'd call yourself a liberal. And just so you guys know, James is welcome at every Turning Point event we ever do, and we don't agree on everything. You know, I'm a Christian. James can describe his own beliefs in the metaphysics, but we get along really well, and we do things that matter together. And it's also because I think James is like one of the last people that is willing to have a conversation with people on the right. I can't find that person. You guys should all try to find it. If you find it, let me know. You can email us. But James, is it really that Machiavellian? Is it really that they're in the room and they're like, you know, Jeff Bezos, right, worth $165 billion. Is it conscious or subconsciously really as simple as, you know, I want to kind of create warring tribes amongst the people so I can go to Saturn or something? Is it really that?
I don't know Jeff Bezos's heart, so I can't talk about Jeff Bezos specifically.
Well, fill in the blank of
the
any
ideology, and the people who are involved in this ideology are that sinister. The ideology itself is psychopathic. It is actually psychopathic. It is about dividing.
Why is it psychopathic?
Because all it cares about is winning the argument and gaining more power and manipulating the environment so that it can conform it to what it wants rather than what actually is. It's not interested in objective truth. It's interested in subjective ways of being that are able to divide and conquer and control people. That's why. I don't know about Jeff Bezos. A lot of these people are very convinced. They believe in this like a faith. they're probably sincere. Most of them are probably good people who have taken up with a bad religion. However, the religion itself is evil.
Totally agree. Well, and I mean, I think they give religion a bad name. They believe this wokeism. You call it the Great Awakening. I'll prove it to you. And James, you could fill in the blanks where I missed this out, right? They have shared almost quasi-religious experiences. They pay penance. They have a doctrine of beliefs. They excommunicate the non-believers, right? What am I missing here? That they believe it uncompromisingly, right? They have a dogmatic belief in something that they can't see, right? I mean, how is that not a religious? In fact, I would argue that Christianity, by like an infinite margin, has far more evidence and reason-based arguments than this nonsensical critical race theory religion that we're seeing governing our country.
Well, speaking as somebody who is not a Christian, I would agree with that.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And yet this religious doctrine is now being implemented at almost every single level. So here's what I want to ask you. I think it would be really interesting. So you have a doctorate in mathematics, and math, I believe, is a gift from God as a language for us to be able to understand and hopefully master the natural world against chaos. It's an amazing world once you start discovering it, of which I know very little. But math is centered around this idea of objective truth, correct?
Yeah, that's right.
There is no my truth of how many sides of a triangle there are.
That's right.
And so this idea of objectivity is one of the agreed upon attributes of Western society.
That's right.
We have now seen this theme of my truth, James. You don't know what it's like to be a black lesbian woman. Therefore, I must have a lot of power and you must sit down and shut up. Talk about the death of objectivity and how this all ties together.
So it's beyond even the death of objectivity, but we'll talk about that. It's the death of having things in common. It's the death of being able to find common ground or a common sensibility with which we can communicate with one another. The point of an objective view of the world is you may not agree with me about some fact about the world, but we agree about how we're going to go investigate it. We agree that there are methods that work better than others, okay? And so with math is objective. It is absolutely, like, it's literally logically true. There's no question about whether or not it's true. There's nothing to argue about. It is objectively the case. For example, the 2 + 2 = 4. That is the case. I know this is a controversial statement. In fact, I made it a controversial statement last year by trolling Nicole Hannah-Jones of New York Times into making fun of me for saying 2 + 2 = 4. And then it blew up. And then you had the T.H. Chan School of Public Health at Harvard tweeting that 2 + 2 = 5 in the middle of a pandemic where half the country is afraid they're overcounting. How about that? So the goal is to break down our ability to talk to one another and understand one another. And the reason is because if we can't understand one another in a common language, we can be controlled by the people who get to set the subjective standards. That new subjective standard, that new sensibility that's replacing a common sensibility is called intersectionality, which means, in short, we can talk about what it means in the theory, blah, 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 but in short, it means you have to think about who you are and how systemic power dynamics influence whether what you said matters or not, always in everything. It's think about who you are and be divided against one another constantly. And that's how you're made to think under this ideology. And the reason is, we have no objective ground to stand on. We have no common ground that we can understand one another in. And that's total BS.
So you and I are going to explore this in kind of a backstage conversation in a podcast. But what I do want to keep it kind of high up here, James, is what was stunning for me when I read your wonderful website, New Discourses, which is the best website on all of this woke garbage.
I can tell you that's true. I wrote most of it.
No, it's phenomenal.
Yeah, it's awesome. Say it again, Charlie.
Newdiscourses.com.
Thank you.
Yes. And it's kind of like the last liberals. It's really nice to see, actually, that comments on there. Is this idea, James, of believing... I couldn't really process this when I first saw it, was believing that science and math are racist. And so this is something that, by the way, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation is funding.
True.
And this is something that young children are learning. You have a doctorate in mathematics. First of all, just tell us give the best argument that they can. Like Superman, their argument, right? Strongman, their argument. What is their best argument for why math is racist? Let's just do the thing like, James, you now have to defend the Nicole Hannah Jones position and then tell us why it's wrong.
Okay. I'm sorry. So the reason is because math was, in their eyes, either stolen or created by white, Western, European people, men in particular, who wanted to gain mastery over the chaos of nature. But they did so in a way where they, without even necessarily realizing it in most cases, arranged affairs so that white, Western ways of thinking about things would be privileged, because that would give white Western people who wanted to then colonize the world and enslave people the tools and the power to do so over others. And they never even bothered to consider that there might be other ways to do mathematics. They stole mathematics from the Egyptians. They stole mathematics from the Middle East. They stole mathematics when they got to the New World from the Aztecs and the Mayans. They stole it, they stole it, they stole it, and they just incorporated it into their worldview so that they could then subjugate those people using that power. And that, they say, hasn't gone away. That remnant of that original racism, which, by the way, is fake, that remnant of the original racism is still there, and it's still used to subjugate. This is why it's racist against races that aren't white. Learning mathematics rigorously is positioned as a white position that upholds white power, and therefore it's expected that black people and brown people, whatever brown means, are not able to learn math without having to succumb to a white power structure first and sell out who they really are in terms of their identity. That's why they think it's racist, which is patently insane. I don't even think I have to tell you why that's wrong. It's the stupidest thing ever.
In 1857, the SS Central, otherwise known as the Gold Ship, sank with 9.1 tons of gold on board, valued at $2.1 million. That is the modern-day equivalent to hundreds of millions, the greatest American treasure ever discovered at sea. Today, Noble Gold, a California company, really good people, with pristine reputation, has a share of these gold coins available to their clients. Over 7,000 gold coins, mostly $1, $5, and $20 gold coins from 1840 to 1857 were recovered from the SS Central America shipwreck. Most of these coins from the ship of gold were quickly acquired by private collectors when the coins were first brought to the market in early 2000. Now, Noble Gold's clients can get this unforgettable part of American history at a fair and affordable valuation. Contact Noble Gold and ask about the Kirk shipwreck deal to receive this unique offer. Visit noblegoldinvestments.com, then call a Noble Gold representative to ask about shipwreck coins. It's time to tell better stories at your parties by showcasing a one-of-a-kind coin from a collection destined to rise in value. So go to noblegoldinvestments.com and use the promo code Kirk. Right now, buy stuff you can touch. noblegoldinvestments.com, promo code Kirk.
So can you tell us why it's wrong?
Yes, I can. No, because I mean, it turns out that mathematics is built on axiomatic
systems. Because I see some literally on the ground right now. But just so you know, that at some colleges and a lot of grade schools, this is what you're paying for, parents. This is the future that we have created for our children because of our lack of involvement. Are we exaggerating at all, James?
So let me tell you a story. I was flying out to L.A. a few weeks ago actually to speak in Rob McCoy's church, right? So I'm flying. Yeah, it was great. And I got to sit up in a pulpit. First time I ever got to do that. It was like I felt like, you know, Fox in the Hen House or something. No, I'm just kidding. It was excellent. So I was flying out there, though, and I'm reading this book, a handbook on critical race theory and education on the plane. What a wonderful read. And I finally hit my limit. I'm reading this essay by this guy, Daniel Solarzano, who's one of the biggest critical race theory and education people from back in the day. And he has this essay, and he's talking about how he got this email where this lady sends in, I think it's a woman, sends in this email saying, oh my gosh, this thing you published helped me so much with mathematics. I was trying to teach, I'm sorry, we're going to go math. I was trying to teach the coordinate axis, the XY thing. And my students always struggle with the coordinate plane. I was trying to teach it to them. And then I showed them, well, if we put on the vertical axis, commitment to social justice, and we put on the horizontal axis, you know, commitment to objective truth or something like this, then blah, blah, blah. And they turned the entire teaching of basic XY plane functions in mathematics, algebra one, into a social justice lesson about how committed you are to social justice and how much it was commitment to change the world or something like that. You know, the point of the studying things is to change the world, obviously, said Marx.
So that's just one example.
That's what's happening in math classes.
But we'll
math!
And
just solve for X.
And so James, I think there is something to this. We're going to go a little bit over time because I think this is so important, which is there something to this that it's so absurd so people think they're dumb because they don't get it because it's so absurd? Is there like an intimidating factor to this? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes, actually, I think so. So I actually do believe that part of what it does is it makes you lose your footing in the world. It makes you not know who you are. And this is a very important message, if I might divert a little bit from the direct. I think that they do try to make people feel stupid, like you can't possibly understand this. But this is what I know we're going to get to it eventually, but this is what you have to do. So if I were going to give you guys some advice, there are a couple things I want to say. One is that you need to realize the period of history that you live in. You live in a period in history that's going to be one of those things, if we get through it, that people study in depth in 100 years. That's you now, and you need to rise to the challenge. But what you need to do to rise to the challenge is you need to get, I'm sorry, I know this is one of those moments like, how do you do, fellow kids, from the old guy, but you need to get based. You need to get based. You need to know who you are. You need to know who you are spiritually. You need to know who you are mentally. You need to know who you are emotionally. You need to know who you are becoming professionally by going out and taking on challenges and taking risks and learning about yourself, learning about subjects that matter, learning to solve for X if it's math, actually learning rigorous things, building a foundation for yourselves, and getting ready, because you are in a situation right now where by design, whether it's with math, these absurd arguments, whether it's with all the stuff with sex and gender and sexuality, where they're literally trying to groom young people into not being able to figure out who they are as they go through puberty, you are in a situation where your identity itself is being undermined on purpose. Because if you don't know who you are, they can control you. They can tell you who you will be. And that's why these arguments are so absurd, is because if you can't figure out the real world, if you can't connect to reality, if you can't connect to objective truth, if you can't get your feet under you and get based, they can push you and throw you around. I used to do jujitsu. I don't do jujitsu anymore. You have to have base to not get swept. You don't want to get on your head. You don't want to get flipped over. You don't want that guy to mount you and punch you in the face. You have to have base. You got to get based, or they're going to be able to throw you around. And that's what they want to do. They want to put you in a place where you can't figure out who you are, you can't figure out what you believe, you don't know why you believe it, and you aren't competent enough to be able to figure it out because they've brainwashed you and programmed you to not be able to think for yourself or to get attached to reality. And the only way out is to do the opposite, is to get based, get attached to reality, get to know yourself, whether, like I said, mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, all of it. You got to get to know yourself.
That is phenomenal advice. And so, James, I want to now just get to the most practical. Here's the good news of our conversation. Is critical race theory popular?
No. It's not popular in any demographic, it turns out. There was a recent poll done, and I forgot which poll it was done. It doesn't reach a majority in any significant demographic. Not a majority even in Democrats of color. It is not popular. It is that 85% of this population, once they understand and see what it is, hate it. They don't just not like it. They don't just think it's weird. They hate it. They viscerally recognize the racism in it. They viscerally recognize that it's not real and it's absurd. They viscerally recognize that it is manipulative and divisive and hurtful. It is not popular. And this is the really good news. It's actually very simple. The more people who learn what it really is, the fewer people like it. All you have to do is tell people what it is. Show them what it is. Read from their books. And people just red pill like crazy.
And James, that's why we're sitting on this cultural volcano and we are going to win. So you have all these elites that are now by force implementing something that's incredibly unpopular. That does not work well in human history. We have lots of examples of people in charge that try to force feed a population of things that are very unpopular. And it might be popular amongst their own social circle, but that's why you're seeing the school board uprising. That's why you're seeing the people going up against this in record numbers. And James, that's why you've seen your book explode the way it has.
That's right. Look, it's very simple though. It's very simple. This country used to be racist. We're not going back. That's it. That's why people hate it.
And the other side wishes to keep us in that place where they can control us and make us obey. Okay, last point, James. On these college campuses, they are going to be confronted with arguments from authority. You are or were a college professor until, you know, all this fun stuff started. What are they supposed to do? Our Turning Point USA students on college campuses, where it always comes down to this. I'm the professor. You're the student. I know you're wrong. Sit down and shut up. How are they supposed to handle that?
You know, it's hard to go up against a machine. I don't want to give you bad news. So it depends on, you're going to have to make a choice. Is that argument worth it for that class? Is that argument worth it for your degree? Do you want that degree? Is this degree going to matter if I have to lie to get it? So you're going to have to make those kinds of decisions. But what you need to be doing, you're not going to fight your professor and win. You're not. What you need to be doing is talking to other students. You need to be talking to other students. You need to connect with the faculty members who are quietly and secretly based. And you need to start making borderline secret societies. Turning Point's not so secret. But you need to start making borderline secret societies and telling people. It's very simple. It's very, very simple. You know, all this stuff, I don't quite believe it. I had somebody talk to me about the pronoun thing recently, a very tender-hearted, liberal young woman talking to me, and she says, you know, I'm the most trans-accepting, I know this is different from race, but I'm the most trans-accepting, I'm the most gay-accepting, et cetera, person, and I'll do the whole pronoun thing, but not those new ones, not those neo-pronouns, they call them, Z, Zer, Her, I won't do it.
Neo-pronouns?
That's what they call them. So, if you start to draw the line, you know, like, here's, I'm totally skeptical of this. I guarantee you half the students that you're around aren't willing to admit that they're skeptical too. And when they hear somebody say it, courage begets courage, but also cowardice begets cowardice. So if you're afraid, they'll be afraid. If you're brave, they'll be brave with you.
And James, what do they do though when they get called a racist? What do they do? Because it puts people in paralysis.
Clown life. Just call them clowns. Just ignore it. Laugh at it. Joke at it. Yeah, what isn't? You know, whatever. It's a complete bogus accusation at this point, and everybody who knows, knows it. And if you just don't go with it, that's you being brave. That's it.
Do not comply to the accusations or the labels that they throw on you. So Dr. Lindsay and I are now going to head to the podcast room and go even further and deeper. And I just want to say thank you for what you've done. It's taken real courage, real bravery, and our country's better for it. It really is, because we need more people to speak out against this. Thank you guys so much, and please thank Dr. Lindsay.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. And if you want to support our program, go to charliekirk.com/support. And if you want to get involved with Turning Point USA, go to tpusa.com. God bless you guys. Speak to you soon.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.